Van Halen, a visual biography. If you're going to talk about bands who need a visual book, then Van Halen is the one. From the single sleeves right through to the passes, posters and promo items. And of course, Dave, Ed, Mikey and Al themselves, Iowa's, and Sam and Gary and Wolfgang. Van Halen was an explosion of colour and action. In this latest book by, I think we'll call him the machine, Martin Popoff, he's put out this new book just before Christmas, looking at some of the greatest songs in rock history, including Running with the Devil, Ain't Talking About Love, Chambers Crying, and Jump, which I played just now. Delighted to be joining me live on the line from Toronto, Canada, Martin Popoff. Martin, good afternoon from us. Good morning again to you.
Yes. Hi, Giles. Thanks for having me again.
This the pleasure.
Cool.
Last time we talked about this, and I told you that when we had that book out, I'd get you on, and absolutely no problem at all. I love Van Halen. I mean, huge Van Halen fan from back from when my cousin Douglas bought me a mixtape in 1979 and said, "I've heard this new band. What do you think?" And that was it for me. Off we went. Right. And so as an 11-year-old, I was captured. There was something, wasn't there, about especially with Eddie and the guitars. Tell me a little bit about how this book came into fruition.
Yeah, well, I mean, to answer your first question there, you're right. I mean, it was very special, that first record in 1978. I just did an episode of my History in Five Songs podcast where we looked at the heaviest albums from the 70s from America, and that album is pretty close to the top of the list, that first record. It just exploded out of the gates. It went platinum pretty quickly. They followed up really fast with two. So yeah, we figured this was a good book to do a visual on. And as you were saying, absolutely correctly there, they're such a visual band. So myself and the good team at Weimer Publishing, you know, we did one on Thin Lizzy, we did one on Blue Oyster Cult, and this was the next one. So basically, I did about a 20,000-word timeline, and then we just gathered a ton of photos from all the eras, including Gary's era. You know, solo stuff, we looked at, you know, I made sure I had entries for a lot of what Sammy did and a lot of what Dave did. And then, you know, the ads and the ticket stubs and all that stuff, so that they were all very colorful bands. And we just figured it was a great thing to do. And right in the middle of it, we lost Eddie right at the very end. And I was able to stop the presses and put one final entry to it there. But yeah, a lot of people are talking about Van Halen.
I mean, one of the things is with, if you think about the timeline, and Van Halen came right just at the right time, if you like, to save rock and roll. It's kind of before what you call the new British rave of rock, which is Def Leppard and Iron Maiden, et cetera, et cetera. And you could argue Judas Priest. But you're coming out of that heavy Black Sabbath, Zeppelin, sort of dark, gothic sort of phase. And this burst of California sunshine comes in because, you know, Van Halen had been playing sort of backyard parties and they were California and they were young and fit and good looking. And they had a showman, or they had two showmen at the front, Dave Lee Roth and Eddie Van Halen.
Yes, definitely. And you make a very good point. I mean, this is before the new wave of British heavy metal. It's before hair metal, which is kind of like 83, 84.
Oh, yes.
Something that Van Halen essentially invented by being Van Halen. But it's also at a time when, you know, the big American institutions like Aerosmith, Kiss, Blue Oyster Cult, Ted Nugent were all on the descendancy. You know, they were breaking up. They were making not great albums. There was some poppy stuff coming out at that time. There was really nothing hard rock exactly around that time. This was the waning days of punk as well. And especially in California, there was just no hard rock going around, or at least above ground, above radar, in terms of having full, you know, albums out and stuff like that. There were these guitar heroes bubbling around, and Eddie was one of about four. But basically, it came at a time when there was a total void, like you say, of anything heavy. And this was really, really heavy for, like, February 1978.
And again, it's the imagery, because Van Halen, perhaps more so, well, not since here's what I'll put out to you, Martin. You sometimes you can recognize bands by their logos alone without actually having to see the name itself. You can say Zeppelin's got that logo. You can say a couple have had since then. But, you know, Van Halen as well, you see the, you know, that VH, you know what it is.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they were on the tail end of those bands that had those logos, and that was such an iconic thing on the second album. It's just like front and center. All their album covers are fairly simple and actually not very good in most cases, but they always used that logo, and the look of the band itself was kind of this pre-hair metal thing. The only thing you can equate it to was perhaps something like an Aerosmith, but they just, you know... All they did in a fashion sense with all that color and the stuff hanging off them and, you know, just they looked like total rock stars coming in, even though this was their first album. And as I was saying before, I mean, they essentially are the you know, the blueprint, the grandfathers for hair metal, literally, you know, 5, 6, 7 years early and literally 5, 6, 7 albums before that thing even kicked off.
And again, and even if you chart where the band went, I mean, the guitar, you know, Eddie Van Halen's guitar, A, you could play it like a demon. I mean, there's no, you know, people just look at that. I mean, there's a famous thing about they were supporting UFO on an early tour, and UFO was like, you expect us to follow that. But the look of the guitar, you know, with the red and the white and the stripes, again, you know, a very distinctive look. And again, coming off the back of that punk before we get the hair metal bands.
Yes, so his guitars had a look. That was that Frankenstrat or Frankenstein guitar thing he did with the stripes. But also, you know, I've you know, talked a lot about, you know, since he died, a lot of people wanted to talk about Eddie. And you know, he's probably, I would say he's literally the first true guitar hero all the way back to Jimi Hendrix. So, you know, Jimi Hendrix... 68, 69, dies, and I think it's 70. And Eddie Van Halen is clearly like 8 years later. You know, you got guys that came along who are semi-guitar heroes and known for their writing and the riffs and everything combined. But Eddie was the first one to come with something totally new. You know, this idea of the tapping. Now, I always get stick for this saying it's totally new because there are little trace elements of it all along. I had an earlier Van Halen book where I did a whole chapter on this. But basically, Eddie brought tapping mainstream. He did a lot. He did it in a new, really cool musical way. So he had this absolute signature. And the other thing he did to establish himself as a guitar hero was he had a named awesome, awesome guitar solo called Eruption on that first album, which, you know, it's just him and that's it. So he's inventing shred. He's inventing tapping, or at least bringing it into a big thing. And he caused a whole industry of guitar heroes after him. But yeah, I really don't see one that you could say is on his stature all the way back to Jimi Hendrix.
And you talk about that tapping, and people tend to pretend not to remember this, but the impact that Van Halen, the debut album, had was huge. It came out of nowhere. I mean, there'd been a bit of people who said, oh, these guys are really good, but it literally, that album came out and it just went stratospheric. And the next time they came out with Van Halen too, they were a huge rock band. And the way that the tapping influenced everybody through Stevie Vay, Joe Satriani, and then suddenly everybody was trying to do it. I mean, for goodness sake, the man is playing on Michael Jackson singles, you know, within 5 years, an unheard of thing for a rock star to do.
Yeah, and that tapping stuff is so central to so many awesome Van Halen solos, but also there's this idea of the brown sound, right, which is I maintain is a combination of his guitar style, his guitar sound, but also the production of Ted Templeman and even the drumming of Brother Alex.
Yeah.
But you're right, that first album you had Running with the Devil, Jamie's Crying, Eruption, You Really Got Me, Ain't Talking About Love, those were all massive hits, so that's half the album right there. And then some of the heaviest, most scorching songs ever from the 70s so far in you know, I'm on Fire and
Atomic Punk.
Really, really heavy stuff. You're the One, right? Those are the three heaviest songs on the album. And yeah, so all of that stuff combined, that iconic album cover, the logo, you know, was on a big label. It got a big push. I even remember there was some buzz about it because I would have been 15 at that time, and we knew about this album coming out and that there was hype around it, even buying it as a new release. So there had already been talk, but I guess I suppose that comes from them being in that crucible of the media, you know, growing up in LA and being surrounded by all that. But yeah, massive impact.
As an 11-year-old in Stoke-on-Trent in the middle of the England, I can assure you I had no idea this was coming.
Right.
So let's talk about the actual then, you know, because one of the great things about your books is the fact that you find stuff that, you know, most people would be unaware of. You said, you know, you got your timeline, you got your 20,000 words, and then you go looking for merchandise or for paraphernalia, if you like, or for ticket stubs for concert stuff. I mean, there must have been so much great stuff that came out.
Yeah, for sure. And I think my favorite stuff, as always in a lot of the books I've done, I just love the advertisements, right? When there's a little bit of thought put into them, like the women and children first with the, you know, the woman and the child floating in the water with the lifesaver around them and stuff like that. There's a skeleton holding a logo ad, I remember. But the 45s are cool. Yeah, I love sort of like the, you know, the cheesy sleeves that get put together for various territories around the world when these 45s come out. But yeah, I think this is probably the first book that really, like, sincerely combines the solo careers, too. So Sammy's in there. There's live shots of Sammy, David Lee Roth, the ads for those records. So yeah, it's just a big potpourri of all that stuff combined. I mean, this isn't a band with a lot of strands because Eddie, you know, didn't particularly do, you know, massive solo type things. But in the timeline, every single time, more or less, you know, he is on some project. That is all mentioned. So the timeline is super, super meticulous with many, many entries. But yeah, I wanted to include everything that all these guys essentially are part of.
And one of the things that comes through as well as the fact that they are brilliant musicians. I mean, David Lee Roth maybe might not be able to sing a note, but he's an incredible showman, but incredible musicians, and also the sense of humor, the sense of fun that came in with a Van Halen record, because they gave you that whole Showtime experience, which again a lot of the doom laden guys weren't doing, and certainly the hair metal bands that came later took themselves a little bit too seriously. So you know, Van Halen brought a good bit of humor and a good bit of razzmatazz to a sort of moribund heavy metal scene.
Yeah, you've got Alex with those big drum kits. You've got Mikey with his Jack Daniels bass. You've got, you know, a big, massive stage show. Eddie is smiling, you know. It's like, wow, what a innovation. Actually looking like you're enjoying yourself on stage, right? Dave always looked like he was enjoying himself on stage. He had great stage patter. You know, he busted out the karate moves, right? And good lyrics from Dave. You know, funny lyrics, but also, like, he could have a really good turn of phrase in there as well. Sammy is like Mr. Party, which he went on to prove with, you know, the Wobblerittas later.
Yeah.
So it was always fun with Sammy as well. So yeah, from all avenues, they were definitely not an old British doom band, that's for sure. I mean, British metal, I always sort of think of as classical based, and American hard rock, I think of as blues based. Although by the time you get to Van Halen, the blues is pretty much out of it. There isn't much left of the blues in them. But it is definitely that party attitude, which again, I suppose, if it has any sort of a link back, it would be through the likes of Kiss and Aerosmith and Ted Nugent, I would say.
A friend of mine, one of the first guys I ever worked for, was based in Venezuela in the early 80s, and he went to see Van Halen in Caracas in 82.
Wow.
And if you wanted to see a band having a party then, imagine that one playing in a football stadium in Caracas.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, and Dave Lee Roth, my favorite Dave Lee Roth quote, which came up on my timeline today, was, I don't do jogging. I tried jogging once, but I gave up because the ice cubes fell out of my tumbler.
Yeah, I know. Or what's the other one? The critics don't like us because the critics don't like us. They like Elvis Costello because they all look like Elvis Costello.
If people are going to take, because I know you're busy today, and thanks for joining us, but if people are going to take something, what's the favorite thing that you've taken from this particular book, apart from having to listen to a shed load, and that's a technical term, by the way, a shed load of Van Halen?
That was fun doing, but I really loved doing the timeline because it really took you into a lot of,
Don't say we've lost him right at the end there. Hang on. Let me see if I can just get him back there. Hold your breath for a second. Let's just see if we can get him back. Let's just see if we can get him back, ladies and gentlemen. This is live radio. Yes, you see, the I forgot to put my 50 cents in the meter and we lost you. We're just coming to the final bit of the interview to say, you know, what your favorite bit of gathering it together, your favorite bit of doing this meisterwork, which is Van Halen Visual Biography. What was your favorite bit?
Well, I really liked putting together the timeline. I liked adding the scholarly stuff to it. I mean, it is a big coffee table book. It's got 400 pictures in it, and I know my readers, I mean, they love getting these big picture books, but I do kind of scratch my head sometimes because for me as a writer, I mean, I really like, you know, getting all of that scholarly stuff put in there. So there's a lot of good personal stuff, and there's a lot of stuff about, you know, the politics of the band and the feuding that goes on too, which is, you know, it was kind of nice to write about that, but a little sad at the same time. But so there is a little bit of gossip to that story because there's so much drama with them, right? But and I also love the fact that there's Sammy stayed very prolific after Van Halen, so it was nice giving Sammy his due as well, because obviously the guy loves music and he just kept making music over and over, and him and Mikey were friends and are friends, and they continue on. So it was nice seeing them continue on into their old age, but it was terrible seeing us lose Eddie, which was quite a shock. At, you know, I think it was 65, 66. You know, he didn't get to get into the retirement years, and we didn't see a lot from him in recent years, but at least they finished off with just a firecracker of an album with another kind of truth, a different kind of truth. That was such a heavy, heavy record to go out on, so that was good to see.
This one is called Van Halen, A Visual Biography. It's by Martin Popoff. Martin, I know that you're busy, but just quickly, if people want to find you, you're out there on the social media.
Yeah, martinpopoff.com. I sign and ship the books out from here in Toronto of anything that I have in print. I'm available on Facebook, Twitter, but even email, martinp@inforamp.net. But martinpopoff.com has everything described.
Thank you so much for your time today.